I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
402, here on the Fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer. It is After Hours here on the Fan, 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. You know, what a difference a week makes for the Yankees. They entered Memorial Day weekend with the Rays setting the pace in the American League East. And if things got ugly in that series against Tampa, now, there was one rainout and they split the two games they played. But if it was a sweep where the Rays swept the Yankees, things could have started getting quite tense, especially with June approaching. And we know Aaron Boone managed teams struggle in June. So I thought it was a real big weekend for the Yankees. And obviously, they split Judge with the walk-off on Sunday. And since then, four in a row for the Yankees, four losses in a row, just as important for the Rays. And now the Yankees, as they go out to face the current Sacramento, former Oakland, future Vegas Athletics, who are just known as the Athletics, the Yankees find themselves three back in the loss column. That's it. Three back, which is very doable. You know, within a blink of an eye, they could be back at the top of the American League East. That's how quickly things can change in baseball. And that's why I preach it with the Mets. I also talk about it with the Yankees. I don't care where the Mets are at right now. I don't care where the Yankees were at a week ago. So much can change in baseball in just a blink of an eye. Blink of an eye. It's a marathon. It's 162. A week ago, things were looking pretty bad for the Yankees in terms of the division. Obviously, they're going to make October. They're going to make it to the postseason. But if you're the Yankees, you definitely want home field. You don't want to have to face the Rays when they have home field down at the Trop, because that place is haunted. It gives the Yankees all kinds of problems. Now, I don't think the Yankees should fear anybody in the American League. I certainly, as an outsider looking in, wouldn't fear anybody. Seattle is a loser franchise. They've never made it to the World Series. Cleveland, I know they got you a couple times with Alomar and the Midges, but the Yankees have gotten them just as many, if not more, than the Cleveland has gotten them. I don't see it from a team like the Athletics or the White Sox or anybody else that you want to. Detroit is a total mess. Toronto still needs to get back to 500 before I take them seriously. And if Tampa doesn't win the division and they have to face the Yankees where the Yankees have home field, I don't think the Rays win that series. So there's nobody that strikes fear into your heart. But the Yankees are in the same situation that the Knicks found themselves this year. And that is, the Yankees have to get to the World Series. It's World Series or bust. When you consider the idea that they ran it back and the American League is so bad, they have to get to the World Series, just like the Knicks had to get to the finals. And now that the Knicks are in the finals, they have to win it. But the bare minimum was getting there. When you fire Tibbs, and that was an organizational decision. Like, I really feel that way. I know people wanted to point the fingers at certain individuals. I'm sorry. If Jalen Brunson wanted Tibbs to be the coach of this team, he'd be the coach of this team. Same thing with Josh Hart. I know everybody went, oh, well, it was clearly Bridges and Cat. Really? You're telling me the star of the team, if he didn't want the coach here, he didn't have any say in that? They didn't go to Jalen Brunson and say, hey, we're about to get rid of this guy. Do you care? I think overall, they were ready to move on. They appreciated what Tibbs did here, but they understood that the reason why they kept losing in the playoffs is because they were tired. They kept getting injured. They didn't utilize the bench. Why do you think that was? Because the team was playing too many minutes throughout the regular season. They weren't utilizing the bench. And in order to take the next step, they needed to make a coaching change. I think Leon Rose spearheaded it. I think Leon Rose was at the guy that really kind of got the ball rolling, because Leon Rose stuck his neck out there to bring in Bridges, to bring in Cat. That was his big swing. That was putting all the chips in the middle. And Tibbs didn't get the best out of Cat. He didn't get the best out of Bridges. This is Leon Rose's baby. Now, Tibbs played a huge hand in it, and he deserves a ton of credit for this. He turned the program around. He got the LOL out from the front of the Knicks, where the Knicks were then a consistent winning team year in and year out. But, and we've seen this a lot with Tibbs throughout his career, they weren't able to win the big one and get to the finals and win a championship. So I do think Leon Rose was at the head of that table, but this is just me speculating, I think everybody in the organization was sitting at the table, including Brunson, including Josh Hart. Those guys carry a lot of weight. And if they wanted Tibbs around, he'd be around. So everyone wanted to make Bridges and Cat into the bad guy. I think if the players had any say, and you don't have to, they don't have to go ask the star player. The star player will voice his opinion on what's going on. And it ended up being the right move, as the majority of Leon Rose's moves have been. And they have been questioned. Many, including myself, questioned the Brunson signing. You either questioned the Brunson signing or it was just not even talked about. You know, obviously now, King of New York, closing in on Mount Rushmore as far as a Nick, superstar in the league, everybody's darling. That's what Jalen Brunson is now. That's not what Jalen Brunson was when they signed him. So either you were happy about the move, but you weren't ecstatic. You weren't over the moon. You were like, all right, they got a point guard. They haven't had a point guard in forever. They got a point guard now. He showed flashes, obviously, in college, but more importantly, in the pros, winning a series with Dallas. So there's promise there. He could stabilize this offense and be the point guard. You either had that stance, or you said, he's not a superstar. He's not the guy. They're not going to win with him. Or you were indifferent to it, if we're all being honest about it. So that started with that. People criticized the Cat trade. He's soft. He's this. He's that. He's not a winning player. He's not, you know, necessarily in shape the way you want him to be. He's just, he doesn't have the guts or the intestinal fortitude to be a championship player, especially in this city under the bright lights. People were upset about the Anunoby trade. How could you get rid of two homegrown players? I mean, you have R.J. Barrett, you have Emmanuel Quickley. You can't do that. The Bridges one was, I would say, universally approved, but there were how many people, and even at the time, but certainly once he started playing, well, they gave up all these first-round picks for him. And then once the Tibbs situation happened, how could you fire Tibbs? And then when they hired Mike Brown, how could you hire Mike Brown? So every step of the way, every brick that Leon Rose has built for this team has been questioned by everybody. And now we all look stupid, but great. I would love to look stupid if it means the Knicks are going to win a championship. That's for sure. But that's exactly what they're on the doorstep of doing here. But I do think that getting rid of Tibbs was a collective. I think because if people that carry weight in that franchise, if they wanted Tibbs around, he'd be here. He'd be here. That's the way this league is ran. If the star player wants the coach, he's there. If the star player doesn't want the coach to be there, he's gone. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Chris in Howell. What's up, Chris?
Logie, love you, baby.
Appreciate you.
I have to say, like, we grew up in the 90s where you drafted somebody, they came up through your organization, and then the whole LeBron thing happened where he chose those super teams.
The decision.
That's when I soured on basketball a lot, dude. But to see the Knicks come back with a team that they built, and really the four teams in the finals are not super teams anymore.
Right, and also the Knicks didn't, you know, which is just an absolute, something the league has to address and they're trying to address. The Knicks didn't go the route of let's be bad, let's be bad, let's be bad, let's be bad, and lose year in and year out and try to get enough ping pong balls to get a top pick and turn our franchise around. You know, it started with, obviously, the hiring of Tibbs, and then even Julius Randle and obviously Brunson, and then Anunoby and Cat and Bridges, Hart, et cetera, et cetera. So they kind of built their team kind of opposite of what a lot of these franchises are trying to do by tanking and by losing on purpose. So they did it the right way. They did it the old school way. And they do, even though they're not, you know, you can't play the style that the 90s was, but this team, you kind of can compare them to the 90s in a way because we love them. And they are kind of in that underdog mentality. And we want to see them now finish the, you know, the race here, which the 90s teams couldn't do.
Quick question, Lugie. How much do you love Harbaugh?
Beyond. Now, I'll say this, Chris. Because I got to be fair, and I've said this before. This is a honeymoon. That honeymoon, for me, will end quickly. Because my expectations that are giant going into this year I don't want to hear any excuses or they're building towards the future. No. I want to see them in the playoffs this year. So I'm not saying I'll turn on him, but my love for him will lose a little bit if they don't have a successful season. And the way I define a successful season for the Giants this year is getting to the playoffs.
Agreed.
Yeah.
But Lou, you gotta tell you one more thing, babe.
Yep.
Can't stand the music.
Well, hold on a second here. You want to come in? What are you, Carson Daly? You want to? This isn't Total Request Live. The music is the music. That's what makes this show unique and different, and that's how I try to separate myself from the other shows, by playing that music. So when you hear that music, you know that I'm on the air. It sets the tone. It sets the vibe. And plus, I love it. So we could change maybe a little bit of a, hey, I want to hear a little more old school house music, or techno, as it was called in the 90s. That's when you know somebody is a little bit older. Well, it's not techno music. Techno. It hasn't been techno since like 1996. It's house music or EDM. I could go a little more old school, but I'm not going to change the vibe and the sound of the show, because I think it just fits what I'm trying to represent. And I like the idea that you don't hear that music anywhere else on the station. You got to be unique. You got to stand out. But yeah, to me, the Harbaugh thing, and if you missed it last hour, I don't think Jackson Dart did anything wrong with President Trump. I don't think Abdul Carter did anything wrong. I really don't. I think both were super innocent. I don't think there's going to be an issue in this locker room. I don't think it's going to be a problem at all. I think it's going to go away and it's going to resurface during training camp, and then it's going to just be completely squashed. And I would be floored if this is an issue throughout the year. Floored. It might be a topic, but not something that is in the locker room that is hurting this team. And if it does seep in somehow, some way, Harbaugh is the type of guy that I think would squash it. But yeah, my honeymoon period with this guy will run out quickly. And I'm not alone. I might be the only one saying it right now. Trust me. When you consider all the bad seasons that this team has had, Harbaugh is being viewed at as the savior and the guy that's going to turn this franchise around and turn around very quickly. We saw it with Vrabel in New England. We saw it with Ben Johnson in Chicago with the Bears. Liam Cohen in Jacksonville with the Jags. Like, this can happen overnight. So, yes, I do love him, but my love affair with him will go away quite quickly. Not turn on him, but I will be very upset. I'm not going to put lipstick on a pig if they win 7 games. I'm sorry. I'm not going to. Not when you have the quarterback, the coach, and I think the roster to win. They could have been in the playoffs last year if Harbaugh was the coach. And they should be better this year through the draft, through free agency, and Dart in a full season. Omar is in Brooklyn. What's up, Omar?
How are you?
Hey, what's happening?
So you are the one, when Brunson signing was there, you were saying, it's okay. That's the one? You are the one?
Yeah, well, you know why? Because I wanted a star. I wanted a superstar. I was superstar hunting, and I didn't think Brunson fit that bill. I was obviously wrong about that, but at the time, he was not a star, in all fairness to me. He has certainly blossomed into that superstar that the Knicks were looking for all these years.
Okay, the thing is, you're looking for a star. How about that? You know where I give the credit to Tibbs? That he made him a man. He made him a man. You know, like when LeBron James was in Cleveland and he goes to Miami and that Boston game happened, he became from a boy to a man.
Yeah, I think that's fair, but Brunson did win in college. He did win a series with Dallas. I think he absolutely helped him along, no doubt about it. But I also think Brunson has it inside. You know what I mean? Like, he has that. He's just a killer on the inside, and I think that blossomed here in New York on a team that he obviously has with his father playing here and coaching here that he has a lot of ties to.
My point is to you is that he has all the talent. He's a workaholic, yep. All the talent in the world.
Yep.
But all of the 32 teams were not ready to take him, assign the only two teams that were signing him, and Dallas was signing him just to be a representative next to Luka. But here, Knicks are offering him $125 million to make him a man, that you are my go-to guy. And there is no other 30 teams that were willing to do it at that particular time. So the Tibbs and Leon Rose accepted that he is going to be our man, he's going to be our franchise player, and let's roll with him and everything. And what did I say? When that happened, my kids, It's okay signing. I said, you know what he's going to bring to you? A competitive edge that nobody's going to bring. And look, from that moment, the Knicks are competitive every season. Yep. And now they're going to the NBA Finals. As a franchise player who wants to be here, there is not even a single Knicks uniform in this team that don't want to be here. Shamit took a payroll, a 30th man. He was like he was not even going to be a granted contract. Yeah. But he stayed with the Knicks to be a New York Knicks because he loves the Knicks. And I appreciate these type of people. The people that don't want to be here, get rid of it. And that's why this team is so collaborative and so connected. And I don't care if it's OKC or San Antonio. I don't give a damn. And I told my son already. He said, O'Shea is better than Brunson. I said, you can see it. The series is coming. If it's coming in, he will win that series and he will be the man. So let's see. Play the. That's why you play the game. He's a two-time MVP. Everybody's saying national TV. He's better than Brunson. Brunson is.
Well, let those guys say all they want. They said Mitchell was better. They said everyone's better. You know the deal, Omar. Especially on television. That's it's always let's go the opposite of the Knicks. Everything you said there, I pretty much agree with. And as far as Brunson, you know he wanted to be here. Look, Leon Rose took a lot of chances. He took a lot of chances, and the biggest one was Jalen, because you're right. He identified him as the guy. This is going to be my marquee, and it ended up being the greatest free agent signing, not only in Knick history, perhaps in NBA history, the way it's going. And credit Leon Rose for seeing what maybe some of us didn't see in Jalen Brunson, to be this guy. Same thing with Karl Anthony Towns. And I was, look, fair detractions. Like, when they got Cat, I said, I love the talent. I think he's one of the best shooting big men in the history of the sport. Maybe the best. The talent is there. But, at times, low basketball IQ, bad body language, doesn't play a whole heck of a lot of defense. You're going to have to prove it to me, especially in this market, especially with the expectations, because Bridges and Cat, those guys were that's the big swing. That's the chips in the middle. And Karl Anthony Towns right now is playing his best basketball of his career on both ends of the floor, which is a credit to him. It's a credit to Mike Brown. And it's also a credit to Brunson's leadership. You said it there, Omar. He wants to be here. He wants to win as much as any fan in those seats. And you saw the emotion on Leon Rose's face when he was crying after Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals. This is not just business. This is personal. For Jalen, for Leon, for Cat, for all those guys. Bridges, Hart, you know, the Villanova connection. This is as much emotion when you consider the drought, when you consider the team, that I think we have certainly in a long time, and I have to rack my brain on this a little more before I stamp it as the most, but it's right up there, you know, off the top of my head as far as emotion for a team. That's for sure. Obviously, Yankees after 9/11, of course. But when you consider the Knicks and everything that this franchise has been through and the fan base has been through, and it's not just Omar who brought it up. Other callers have brought it up. The coalition of Knick haters. Yes, all the Evan Roberts of the world, the Dave Portnoy's of the world, the Skip Bayless's of the world, the Charles Barkley's of the world. He's going to love that I mentioned him with these people. The Spike Eskins of the world. You know, we know they hate the Knicks, and that's okay. And we know there's a lot of people out there that are a part of the coalition. Richard Jefferson. We know there's a lot of people, Reggie Miller. There's a lot of people that are a part of that coalition of Knick haters that hate the Knicks in silence. So at least I give the credit to those that are outward about it. There are many in the media, trust me, that hate the Knicks, but they don't outwardly show their hatred for them. But they hate them. That's okay. And they're gonna tell you everything about how SGA is better than Brunson and all. The gatekeepers in the national media, they don't want Brunson to be a part of the club. They don't. because they've been knocking him for years. He's undersized. He's not the prototypical NBA star. So they don't want him to join that fraternity. They will do everything to keep him out. And Jalen's had to deal with that throughout his entire career. And that has willed him to be what he is, which is King of New York, superstar, captain of the Knicks, the man that turned this franchise around, and the guy that is four wins away from a championship and at the doorstep of being on the Mount Rushmore of Knick greats. Not there yet, but he's on the doorstep. I know people want to put him there. I can't put him there yet. I can't. Not when you have Clyde, not when you have Willis, not when you have Earl Monroe, Dave DeBuscher, Patrick Ewing. Jalen's not there yet. But he, boy, is he making a charge for it. And if he wins a championship, he'll forever be on it. And this is his city once he wins. If he wins a championship, it's his. That's it. There's no... The Knicks, the 50-year gap, the team that unites all of us, the true New York City team, if he wins the championship, he'll be the forever king. No one will match him because that's how important and that's how much this means to people. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Lugie here in the late night. Tommy Lugauer on the Fan. Another half hour to go before the warm-up show that comes your way at 5 a.m. with Al and Jerry. So we have plenty of time to take your calls on the Knicks. Of course, the main lead story, as it will be for all of the next couple of weeks. Mets as well. Yankees as well. The number to join the conversation, 888-808-1019. It's Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the late night here on the Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
4:30 here on the Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours here on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. So we took a call about an hour ago, and it was in regards to Juan Soto and the celebration that he did after the home run and later on in the dugout, and he was mimicking Jalen Brunson's celebration where, you know, kisses the sky with the three fingers. And he, the caller, said, I would like to see more support, because Soto not only showed his support of Jalen by doing that, but also after the game, you know, the Let's Go Knicks chants and showing the unity of the orange and blue and another team in this city sort of backing one that's in the finals. This caller said, hey, we got to get Yankee players to the games at the Garden for the finals. Same thing with the Mets. And I brought up, hey, listen, it's a schedule thing, though. It's not their offseason. I'm sure. And it's, by the way, it's going to be tough to get. You think it's tough, even for these celebrities, it's tough just to get a seat anyway. Now you're talking about the NBA Finals. Donald Trump might be there. He's talked about going. Like, you're going to get just presidents and A-list, AAA-list people looking to knock down those doors. Now, I'm sure they'll make room for Aaron Judge and people like that, but it all depends on the schedule. So we did a little research here. So for Game 3, the Mets are off and home the next night. So there's an opportunity there for the Mets players to go. So there is a path to what I want, which is A.J. Ewing to sit next to Patrick Ewing. We need that. We just need that in our lives. And if Francesa could sit with them, that would make it just perfect, where A.J. Ewing, Patrick Ewing, and Mike can enjoy a game together. Not just a game, not just a game, an NBA Finals game. So there is an opportunity there. So hopefully somebody with the Mets, somebody with the Knicks, somebody's listening. And if they're not listening, get it to them. This shouldn't be hard. Get a seat for AJ to sit next to Patrick for a NBA Finals game. That's a slam dunk, easy one. The internet will love it. Everybody will love it. You'll get a million views on it. You show them on the big screen there. Perfect. Has to happen. It needs to happen. And you have the opportunity to do that in Game 3. Now, as far as the Yankees, they have conflicts with every Knicks home game. So you won't get... Now, Yeah, no, you're not going to get any Yankee there. I was trying to figure out any type of path, but it's not gonna happen. So no Judge, no Schlittler, etc. So the Yankees won't be able to represent the current Yankees, but the current Mets can. So you can get Patrick Ewing and AJ Ewing at the game together, which I think would be unbelievable. But it's gonna. First of all, the ticket prices are through the roof. Not that those celebrities pay, but it's going to be a hot ticket beyond belief. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars. And then obviously the celebrity involvement. You'll get the regulars, of course. My guy Ben Stiller. You'll get Spike. You'll get every actor that appeared in The Sopranos. You'll get Kylie and Timothy. You'll get the regulars, but you're also going to get some major heavy hitters that you never see at the Garden because it is the place to be. And that's what makes these Knick playoff runs so special. Not just the electricity and the environment and the energy and not only inside the building, but outside the building. How about the reporter asking Jalen Brunson about the watch parties? And he called him the king of New York. And I forgot who it was. Maybe Bridges is like, well, he's not the mayor. He's not the mayor, that's for sure. So he's not going to... I don't think he has any... He's like, let me get back to you on that one, which is a good way to say it. It's like, come on. Even though he's the king of New York, he doesn't have that type... He doesn't wield that type of power. But... And I understand it, especially if things are going on outside the Garden and there are arrests. I totally understand that. You want to limit that type of stuff, of course. But if this team, and I'm confident they will, if they win a championship, that night will be bedlam, will be something that we have never seen ever before in terms of a celebration. And then the parade, it'll just be off the charts. Like every day I'm waking up and I'm envisioning the parade. I'm envisioning not only just a sea of people in the greatest city in the world, orange and blue as far as the eye can see, Knick fans young and old, because it's hard to say Knick fan without long and suffering in front of it. 27 years without making a finals appearance, 50 plus years without a championship. So Knick fans young and old who have been waiting, who are starving for this, salivating for the opportunity to go to a parade, for a championship, to celebrate with their fellow Knick fans. You not only have that, you have the warm weather that goes into it. The parties will just be ridiculous. Nobody parties like New York City. It's the only place in the world at 4 a.m. you can buy a Cadillac and a slice of pizza. It truly doesn't sleep, except during COVID. Then it went to bed. I always used to say during COVID, New York City was like, it got old, it had a couple of kids, and went to bed at, 9 o'clock at night. But outside of that year or so, it truly never sleeps. And it won't sleep for a Knick parade. But I've been envisioning it for as long as we've been here. So what's that been? So Tuesday, Wednesday, we're now into Thursday. So 3 straight days of it. I'm thinking about Evan getting a sunburn, having to sit through another parade of a team he hates. Because the midday show, that is the pocket to be the show that hosts from the parade. Because that's the sweet spot. So they're going to be out there. And it's just going to be, you got to envision it. It's just envisioning these things. 27 years of envisioning it, but certainly over the last couple of days, envisioning. Well, more than 27. I shouldn't even say, 20's my entire life, but I'm not going to parade, I don't think, at 4 years old. Maybe, but definitely at the age I'm at now. It's a party and a celebration unlike in a city that's known for that. The New Year's Eve stuff, all the partying that happens night in, night out in this city. Nothing will compare to what you're going to see if the Knicks win a championship. And that's what we are on the doorstep of. 4 more wins. 4 more. The most difficult ones, but 4 more. Because they are leveling up. Look, they are going into the deep end of the pool. In all likelihood, it's going to be the Thunder, and we could be sitting here 24 hours from now, and we'll know it's the Thunder because Game 6 takes place later on tonight in San Antonio. I think the Spurs have one more shot in them. I think they do win Game 6, but Game 7 in OKC, that's a very, very tall order. But I think they have one more punch in them. Even with Wemby having a bad game in Game 5, skipping the podium, not meeting the media, he had a soft 20 points, just was, and you got to meet the media. There's no excuses for that. I think the Knicks will boat race the Spurs. OKC's a tough one. That's a tough one to climb. Because, and either way with the opponent, and this is the important part, They're going to be physical. They're going to take the fight to the Knicks. The Cavs didn't. They're gutless. They're soulless. They have zero heart. Their coach is clueless. James Harden is a sports loser of epic proportions. I love Donovan Mitchell. I love his Mets fandom. I love that he's an ambassador for the Mets. A fan base that needs more positive Tommies and positive Donovan Mitchells. So I love that about him. So I say this with love, but he's a loser when it comes, just like Harden, a sports loser, and he has to be better. Certainly not at the expense of my basketball team, but just as a fan of his because of his Met fandom. You know, Donovan Mitchell has a lot to answer for. And the comparisons between him and Brunson are done. They're over. Brunson has lapped them. So we could end that conversation. The Sixers, same thing, gutless. They didn't bring the fight. Atlanta did, but they didn't have enough to continue the fight. The Thunder will bring the fight. And I'm curious to see how the Knicks respond when the wave and the momentum that they have been on, when that gets challenged, when they lose a game. Because the best thing for them would be to just sweep through the finals and never taste the bitter pill of defeat. Because they're so connected right now. They're in such a groove. They got to be riding so high. Sports nirvana. Just, hey, we're untouchable. We're bulletproof. Nobody can even come close. We're smashing these teams, especially in the clinching games. We're just on we're riding the wave like we've seen from the Warriors. We've seen from the Lakers. That's what we're doing right now. And if we keep that going, it'll be smooth sailing. But what happens when they get punched? If they get punched and they lose a game and the momentum ends, how do they respond? How do they respond to adversity? How do they respond when it gets tough? You know, I've made the boxing analogy before, and I'll make it again. Whether it's a Mike Tyson, a Deontay Wilder, who just completely ate their opponents alive, but when they were tested and they had to fight, didn't always go their way. The Knicks have fought, and they have been battle-tested, but this year, when it gets tough, and they got to go every round of this fight, seven games, with an OKC, with the defending champs, how do they respond to the ups and downs? That's where you're going to really find out about Mike Brown. That's where you're really going to find out about this team. Because as great as this run has been, and it's been great, and as fun as this run has been, and it's been fun, it will be a major disappointment if they don't win. Now they have to. Now they got to win it all. Because next year is not promised in terms of health, in terms of so many different factors, the road to get there, the way they're playing right now is not guaranteed to be there a year from now. So many different bounces of the ball cannot go your way. When you are on this type of magic carpet ride and you have all the ingredients, you have the star power, you have the chemistry, you have the experience, you're playing great on both ends of the floor. You are so in sync. And you're just playing better than anybody left in the playoffs. You have to finish the deal. You have to. And as great a hands as this organization is in, credit to at the top in Dolan for hiring Leon Rose, and then Leon Rose is the architect of this team, building this team. They are in great hands. But there are no guarantees. They got to finish the deal. The Spurs will be an easier opponent. For sure, when you consider the fact that they're down 3-2, if they were to win this series, win a game 7 in OKC, a young team, they're babies. I don't even think Dylan Harper can drink. I think he's 20 years old. He was just at Rutgers like four days ago. Wemby, super young. Castle, super young. If you were to come back and knock off the defending champs and win a game 7 in OKC, I'm telling you right now, that's their championship. They are not mentally going to be able to handle what's coming their way in the finals. OKC can. Not only mentally, but physically. And physically, they're down a couple guys, but they will get, I would think, those guys back for the finals in all likelihood. And if they wrap it up tonight, they're going to get rest. They're going to have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. They're going to have 5 days to rest. And they don't have to travel. They'll be home for game one. So they'll be well-rested, ready to go. That place is as good a home court advantage as there is in the sports, right up there with the Garden. They got the MVP the last 2 years. They got a deep team. And they know mentally how to navigate the waters. The Spurs are still learning. This is not their year. Even if they get by OKC, which would be incredible, the Knicks will make, I think, quick work of them. Quick work. And they have the size to handle Wemby. The Knicks do. So, and I don't like the Spurs' depth at all compared to the Thunder or the Knicks. I just don't think they have the depth of those teams. And that's going to come back to bite you, especially when you went through a 7-game grueling series. And now you get a locomotive coming your way, which is the Knicks. That's what they're staring at. So, I know we've heard from people, I don't care what team gets through, I don't care what team gets through, you know, I'll just be honest, I prefer the Spurs. I've laid it out why I prefer them. They could certainly beat the Thunder, but they will, and I'm making a strong statement here, but I believe it, they will annihilate the Spurs. Annihilate them. That'll be a 5-game series. It's not the Spurs' time. The youth, the letdown, it will be to their detriment, and it'll be to the Knicks' advantage. So that will be much like we've seen with the previous two series. You'll see the same type of thing against San Antonio. So I'm outwardly, for sure, rooting for them. It's going to be a tall task. I do think they get Game 6, Game 7 in OKC. That, yeah, that's going to be a tough one, to say the least. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is a Loogie here in the late night. One more segment to go before we get to Al and Jerry, the warm-up show. Don't worry, it's only an hour, and most days it doesn't suck. In fact, I don't think it ever sucks. I listen to it all the time now that I have a car. Very funny. I really appreciate Al not only knowing players from the 80s as far as baseball, but talking about Georgia Championship Wrestling. I mean, you're tugging at my heartstrings. Any type of wrestling talk. I mean, that's amazing. So I was listening to Al and Jerry. They always make me laugh. I love the how they go to all these topics. And as I say about Al, he always gets the topic list in. And Jerry could basically be like, and then, you know, this real tragic thing happened. Not that anything tragic happened, but this happened to me the other day. And I'll go, meanwhile, Jerry, did you see this? I love the flow of it. Very funny. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. We'll wrap up with those calls. It is 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to join the conversation. Tommy Lou Gower, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
450 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lou Gower, Loogie. It is After Hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll wrap up with your calls before we hand it off to Al and Jerry on the warm-up show. That is coming up in just about 10 minutes. The Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. How about John Tortorella? How about Torts? Sitting there on TV, you know, about 8 games left in the season, he gets the call that the Vegas Golden Knights want to make him their coach. 8 games left in the season, which isn't that crazy. I mean, we saw the Islanders do it with DeBoer getting rid of Wah. So it's not, and hockey, they'll fire a coach 3 games into the season. They'll fire a coach with like 4 games left. That's just the way the sport is. But here you have Torts, 8 games left in the year, gets the gig, and now he's in the Stanley Cup Finals, taking out I think the best team in hockey in Colorado. You can make the argument for Carolina, and you certainly make the argument for Vegas now, the way they're playing. And when it comes to hockey, as you know, it's the hot team that usually wins, not the best. Or I would take my chances with the hot team over the best team, because if you can get on that momentum, and the coaching change clearly mattered, but good on Torts. Obviously one of the best personalities that we've seen through the years in terms of coaches in this town. And for him to be on the doorstep of a championship, that's pretty cool. And I would imagine if you're a Ranger fan, you're rooting for him. I'd be surprised if there was any Ranger fan out there that would not be. And I understand he had his opportunity here, and they made the finals. They lost to the Kings. But I would imagine, or any time that Torts was, you know, when he went to Philly, things of that nature. Obviously, it's a hated rival, but whatever. You have an opportunity now to win. I think that you're a Ranger fan. You would back him. Now, let me just say this before we get out of here about Steve Cohen. And obviously, the Mets won last night. They broke their losing streak. First and foremost, I know we're all on Mendoza watch in terms of getting fired. I've been saying this all along. I don't think Mendoza is going anywhere. I certainly don't think David Stearns is going anywhere. Not today, not tomorrow, not next year. David Stearns is the guy to build this team into a sustained winner. That's why he was hired by Steve Cohen. I could see a path to a general manager being hired to work, not under, but with Stearns. I could absolutely see that in the offseason. But I don't think David Stearns will lose his position or will be fired by the Mets. He might take on a little bit of a different role, but not fired. Now, as far as Steve Cohen, who we know has social media, and the last time we heard from him was, believe it or not, the last time the Knicks lost. So you know what? Maybe it's one of those good luck charms. So maybe don't tweet. But that was the night where we had the watch party here. We had that viral clip because all these things were happening at once. The Jets drafted, who did they draft? The tight end out of Oregon they drafted. And then the Mets were blowing a lead and the Knicks ended up losing to the Hawks. Bo Bichette, though, had the big hit and then they ended up beating the Twins that night. That was the last time we heard from Steve. He was pumping up Bo Bichette. I think Steve Cohen, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's he wants to do a one-on-one with Steve Gelbs, or if he wants, hey, even better, wants to come on this radio station, he should address the fans and address the audience. There's a lot that he needs to talk about. I'm sure there's a lot of questions that many of us would like to have answered. Now, you know me, I'm more on the positive side, but I understand that my fellow Met fans are hurting. I understand that they're frustrated. I feel their frustration. I feel their anger. I feel their hatred. Maybe not all towards Steve Cohen, but certainly towards Stearns, the start of the season, the direction of this franchise, what happened in the offseason, all of those things. Now, you can't all get it out there on Twitter, but it's a start. And then if you could do a one-on-one or a radio interview or something of that nature, doesn't have to be this weekend, but at some point here, sooner rather than later, I think Steve Cohen should address the Met fans. The paying customer, the fans that showed up to the park last year that were asked by Steve, and they showed up. And they're still showing up. There was over 30,000 there last night. Very loyal, very passionate. But many are either annoyed, they're confused, they want some assurance or reassurance that everything is going to be okay. And that this franchise is headed in the right direction. So I think that it would be important and the right thing to do for Steve Cohen to just get that message out there. However he wants to do it, that's his prerogative. Look, the Knicks, you don't hear from Leon Rose, and if you do, it's a one-on-one with like an Alan Hahn, so they don't necessarily put Leon out there in front of all the reporters. That's the way they go about their business. That's totally fine. If Steve Cohen wants to do that, if he wants to sit down with a trusted person, that's great. But to get the message out there to the fans, that's what I would do. That's what I would do. Talk about Mendy. Talk about Stearns. Talk about this team. Heck, if you even want to talk about McNeil and Alonso and Nimmo, although I think, at least to me, it's clear why they did what they did. But, you know, you want to hear from the owner, especially when you consider the start to the season. Totally fair. And you want to hear about the future of this team. And perhaps even, you know, pour some cold water on some of the narratives out there, like the casino and all that type of stuff. It's a good opportunity for Steve Cohen. And if he wants to have a controlled environment, that's his prerogative. He's a billionaire. He owns a team. He can do whatever he wants. But it's a good way to get it out there. And I think a lot of Met fans will respect that. They'll appreciate that. And that will go a long way in the relationship that Steve has with his audience, with his customers, and with the Mets fans. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Tommy, thanks for taking my call. Most hosts just ban me these days.
Well, you're never, you know, you're not on the ban list. Well, what, you know, of course I'm going to take your call, Brett. Now, listen, you know, sometimes you get a little rude. If you get a little rude here, then we might have an issue, but I wouldn't ban you. You're all good.
Well, I wasn't rude. I just said you sounded like you didn't hit puberty.
You know, I would put that in the category. Well, is it though?
You joke all the time with people. You say stuff about everybody.
Well, hold on a second here. But then I joke. We talk about it. You just say something rude, and then you go on a rant, and then you hang up. I don't know if you're joking. How do I know you're joking?
Okay, well,
I don't know if you know this or not, but I don't shine shoes anymore. So, I mean, it's one of those things where you come on and you talk about my voice. My voice is my voice. And you're talking about puberty. Or how do you know I'm not joking back to you? That's the whole little thing that we're doing here. You know,
hang up on me.
What am I supposed to do? Talk to you for an hour? Am I supposed to sit there and talk? What are you, my uncle? Where we end the conversation with, well, make sure you call me back, Brett. You know, I hang up on everybody.
You said multiple times today that Jackson Dart did nothing wrong and Abdul Carter did nothing
wrong.
Yeah,
I don't think none of them did anything wrong, Brett. I think they were completely innocent, both things they did. Honestly. And I don't know if Jackson Dart told his teammates about what's going on. No idea. Abdul Carter was talking about AI. Who knows? It could have been just a joke. If they squashed it as teammates, as bros, that's fine with me. I don't think it's going to be a problem. I really don't. No, I think it's a problem. Listen, politics has become like sports. I think at the start of cable news, this is really just has turned it into where there's just, you know, there's no peace with this stuff. But I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think it's going to be a carryover with the Giants at all. And if it does start to bleed into the locker room, they have an adult CEO that coaches the team now that will be able to handle it. This isn't Brian Daboll that wants to be everybody's buddy. This is a Super Bowl winning coach that comes with a great resume, a ton of respect, and if you don't give him the respect, he's going to make you give him the respect. So if there is any kind of nonsense in the locker room about this, he will quickly put a stop to it. There's just way too much on the line for him personally and for this franchise to allow something like this to torpedo the season, especially with two young star players like Dart and like Carter. All right, that'll do it for me. My thanks to Fleegs. My thanks to JJ for joining me earlier. All the listeners, all the callers. Al and Jerry come your way next. And then I got you with After Hours later on, 7 o'clock this evening. See ya.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.